A very good Friday morning to you all. Welcome to a two-part devotional consideration of Psalm 90, titled in the Hebrew original as a prayer of Moses, the man of God. I would like to do something different today from the more conventional approach of a mini-exposition or some explanatory thoughts about the psalm from the likes of Spurgeon or Calvin. That we will do on Monday. Today, however, after considering some introductory remarks and context, I propose that we read the psalm together in its entirety as a heartfelt prayer to God, which is how Moses prayed it in the first place. This will hopefully center our thoughts on God Himself as we address our hearts to Him and soak up His Word. His word written down for us some 3,200 years ago, but just as relevant and incisive today in 2020. If you need to do so, pause this playback now to get your Bible out and open it to Psalm 90 in a version of your choice, so that you can follow the words carefully. We will be reading from the NIV later. We will not enter into the purely academic folly of debating whether this Prince of Psalms, which opens Book 4 of the Psalter, was written by Moses or not. Let us rather accept God's word for what it says and consider this very personal prayer directed by Moses to God. I would like us to prepare our hearts to read this prayer by putting ourselves right alongside Moses, as it were. Employ your imagination. Come back 3,200 years with me, and enter into the circumstances in which Moses prayed. The Israelites had been freed from slavery in Egypt. Passing through the astounding miracle of the parting of the Red Sea and the vanquishing of Pharaoh, they had gone down to Sinai to receive the law. Despite their constant unbelief, they had experienced manna and quail. They had seen water gush from rocks. They had witnessed the pillar of fire protecting them in the night. And they had been led up to the very borders of the promised land itself. But there, they failed miserably to grasp the promises of the Lord, and He judged them in His anger. Not one of those over the age of 20 when they had left Egypt would enter that promised land, except for Joshua and Caleb, who had dared to trust God when everyone else shrank back. Not even Moses himself would enter the promise of the Lord. Under judgment, they were condemned to wandering in the desert for 40 years, until every last one of the adult generation that had left Egypt would return to the dust. It would only be their children that would take hold of the promise under Joshua's leadership. In your mind's eye, imagine you are now with Moses in the desert, many years after that fateful judgment was handed down. He is perhaps now over 100 years old, and he knows he too will not enter the promised land. Perhaps by the flickering light of a fire or oil lamp, in the cold desert night, his wizened face looks up at the canopy of the heavens to behold the majesty and vastness of space, as it testifies to the eternity of God. He contrasts this with the puny nature of man. Sadly, he's reminded of friends and family now gone. Many of the joyful throng who left Egypt with a new freedom are already dead. More will still die in the years to come. He himself has buried his brother Aaron and sister Miriam in the desert. He reflects on the passing years, weighing up the incredible hardships suffered under the wrath of God because of sin. And more hardships still lie before Israel until the Lord's will is accomplished. And yet the nation has not been destroyed. It is still moving forward under the protection of God. Moses sighs a deep breath into the frigid air. But now, straining his ears, he discerns the laughter of the young men and women in the camp, who will one day make that crossing of the Jordan. And he contemplates the work of the youth that still needs to be done before that great day comes. Gathering all these thoughts together, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Moses, the man of God, now calls out in earnest to his God and Father.
Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals." 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years, or 80, if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass, and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands.
May God draw our attention away from the world to himself today, as this prayer permeates our minds. We will return on Monday, Lord willing, to look at this psalm in more detail again. Have a wonderful day. Amen.